We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement, and that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Paying Your Pastor, and looks at how Paul modeled the gospel by giving up his rights for the sake of the Corinthian spiritual growth. Now, here's today's program.
And if I were married, I would have the right to get married and that you would take care of me and my wife. And if we had kids, that you would take care of me and my wife and my kids. It's honorable for churches to take care of their pastors in a generous way. Now, I'll say this again at the end of the message, but you might want to hear it now in case you think I'm like just, you know, trying to get a raise. I'm not. Our church has always been generous from the get-go. Okay, I'm not teaching you this as a rebuke or a corrective. I'm teaching you the word of God of how we can be generous to the people in ministry that serve us, right? And this is what Paul's teaching the Corinthians. Have a generous spirit to those who are helping you. Now, think about this. I mean, some people think, well, what are you talking about? I mean, if that man of God had a brain in his head, he would have chosen a profession that he knew could have made him more money. I mean, if he's that dumb to choose ministry, why should we be the ones to pay him? We work real jobs. You ever heard stuff like that? Here's what I would say in response. That man of God didn't choose to come serve you. God chose for him to come serve you. And the reason he's here is because he loves God and he loves you and he's pouring his whole life out into you. And so he's saying he's worthy of being remunerated in a way that would show that God is at work in him, right? And we say weird things as Christians sometimes. You know, I mean, I know when I was in Dallas Seminary, I was in a Bible study one time with Howard Hendricks and 10 other guys, and we went for a whole semester long. And there were only two times that we got in arguments with each other. Once was when we talked about repentance and confession of sin, and we were dealing with sin. That caused stir. And the other one was when we talked about money. We just talked about money. And Howard Hendricks was talking about money, and what he said was, when he goes out to speak, he said, I don't ask to be paid. You know, and I don't take my books with me and put them on display because people know where a bookstore is. He goes, I'm not going to market me. I'm going to proclaim Jesus. And we all looked at him. We pushed back on him. It's easy for you to say prof. I mean, Mr. Promise Keeper Speaker, Mr. Guy that's written all the books. Everybody knows who you are. You're certainly taken care of. He's like, no. My wife and I made the decision when we were your age in seminary that that's the way that we would work. We just wouldn't take a salary from anybody. And you need to make the decision now how you're going to handle it. And I remember making the decision that day, then I'll do the same thing. That's what I'll do. And even when we started our itinerant ministry, we never went out to raise support because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then you're going to raise support for me to do it. And if we run out of support, I'll quit and that'll be my sign to get out. And we've never run out of money. And there's many of times I wish we would have, so I could have done something else. But we never asked for money. We never sat down and told people they needed to give. We never said, hey, how much can you afford per month? We never did that stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm just saying we didn't. And we went and preached. We just trust the Lord, you're gonna provide what we need. It even got to the point where people would call and ask, hey, what's your honorarium? And I would say, I don't have one, but if you would be willing, when I get done speaking, if you just put a box in the back and tell anybody that would wanna give to me and put the name of our ministry on the screen that they could give on the way out, that would be fantastic. But I'm not asking for money. And God has always taken care of us. The only time I started to ask for money is when it interfered with the actual preaching of the gospel. So I would get calls from time to time. I remember one time I had a faith night. They called me to preach before a hockey game. And I said, well, tell me about the event. What are you doing? And they said, well, we're gonna have fun and games. We got all these arcade stuff. We got all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, why do you need a speaker? Because we always have a speaker. I'm like, well, when's the speaker gonna speak? After all the fun and before the hockey game. And I said, I've done these before. It doesn't work. Because all these kids are going to have a rip-roaring awesome time eating all this food, getting jacked up on all this candy. And then you're going to say, okay, no more fun. Sit down. Jeff's here to speak. And I said, it's not going to go well. And I said, you really don't want me to come preach the gospel. You just want to do something for an event. So here's the deal. If you'll make the event about me proclaiming the gospel, I'll come do it for free. Otherwise, I'll charge you $2,000 for 20 minutes. And like 2 grand for 20 minutes, I said, it's a steal. I said, because if I have to leave my wife and kids at home to come down and do something, which I know doesn't go along with what I do, I want to be paid for it. I want to be able to do something for them. I said, so you call me and let me know. Free to preach the gospel, $2,000 for 20 minutes to do your little speech. And surprisingly, they never called back. That's why I charge. But the gospel's free. And Paul's not taking rights of getting paid. And he's not telling the Corinthian people, you owe me. He's teaching them how to be generous to the man of God that they're supporting because it's beneficial to them and it reaps rewards to them when they're a generous church toward the people that God sends to them, right? That's what he's saying. And he says he has every right. He has the same rights that you do. I mean, have you ever heard Christians say something like this? You know, Christians will do an event, it costs a ton of money. Like maybe we'll do a front range crusade and it costs $3.8 million and 500 churches are a part of it. And they all gather together and we raise $3.8 million to preach the gospel once or twice. And then we find out it's not going very well. And while we're raising the money, nobody's really coming. And then somebody pipes up in a prayer meeting and they'll say something like this, but yeah, but if only one person gets saved, it's totally worth it. You ever heard something like that? If only one person gets saved, it's totally worth $3.8 million. Now, here's the deal. We can't put a price tag on our salvation. My salvation is worth way more than $3.8 million. I mean, my salvation is worth way more than a billion. If I had a choice of $1 billion or being saved by Jesus, I'm going with saved by Jesus, right? You can't put a price tag on that. But I've never heard Christians say the opposite of that. I've never heard a Christian say in a church, hey, you know what? Every salvation is worth $3.8 million. And if Pastor Jeff just leads one to Christ this year, he's so worth that. Never heard somebody talk like that. Why? Because we have funny ways of viewing money. And instead of being generous to the things of God, we tend to be calculated about what we think we should give as a bare minimum just to keep what we have, right? That's what Paul's addressing here. Let me give you a third reason Paul's gonna talk about why you should pay your pastor. He's gonna say a pastor should be paid because he needs to stay focused and grow in his calling. He needs to stay focused and grow in his calling. He says, or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? In other words, Paul's gonna go on and talk about to the Corinthian church that they robbed other churches like we read about in order to take care of them. He's like, we made tents. He goes, we did everything we could so that not one of you could say that we were here to take money from you. That there's nobody here that could say, the only reason he's doing that job is because he's getting paid. No, he's like, we did whatever we could so that we could present the gospel free of charge so that you could hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what we preached. We preached that you're dead in your trespasses and sins. We preached that hell is your future. And yet Jesus Christ stood in the way. He came to this world. He died on the cross for all your sins. He got up out of the grave and he wants to give all of you life. And he wants to indwell you with his Holy Spirit right now. And you can be saved from your sin right now. And if he's in you, I want to teach you how to grow in that so you can experience full freedom in Christ. That's what I came to do. And I didn't want to rob you. He goes, but I'm just asking you. Barnabas and I, are we the only two that have to work to do this? I mean, how come you're paying everybody else and not us? And notice what he says about staying in his calling. Verse 7, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? He's gonna use three different examples. A soldier, a vine dresser, and a shepherd. And what's he gonna say? He goes, think about a soldier. He goes, when soldiers go off to serve, are soldiers expected to get a part-time job on the side so that they can serve? I mean, recently I started watching the series Band of Brothers again. I haven't seen it in a number of years, and I was watching it recently and thinking about these great men that served our country so that we could have the freedoms that we have and how they fought and what they did and the odds that they had. And it was kind of interesting because I was looking at them like, if we would have sent millennials over there, they would have never fought because they would have been like, dude, I can't even find any internet access. How are we going to fight? But that's a whole nother story. But anyway, these guys that went over and they did what they did, what you don't see is them getting a part-time job in a coffee shop at night so that they can afford to buy a gun and ammunition to go fight. They were given everything that they needed so that they could devote wholehearted service to what they were doing.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Paying Your Pastor, from the series Stronger, examining how Paul modeled the gospel by giving up his rights for the sake of the Corinthian spiritual growth. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
How about a vine dresser? Same type of thing. What's a vine dresser do? It cares for it, nurtures it, makes sure the soil's good, it makes sure there's enough nutrients and water, it makes sure it gets enough sunlight, it makes sure it's positioned properly. Why? So that the vine can produce fruit. And when it does, there's an expectation that I can eat off of it or sell it and get what I'm selling, the fruit that I'm selling, I can get remunerated for it. Or considered a shepherd, you know, tending to the sheep. I mean, he can expect that while he's tending the sheep and caring for them, making sure one doesn't go off a cliff, and making sure the other one that fall down got back up, he can be assured that, you know, he can still take the milk from the sheep so that he can use that and be nourished by his job. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, he goes, I'm not speaking of these things according to human judgment, am I? Does not the law also say these things? He goes, I'm not talking just about human examples. I'm using this example to say why a pastor should be paid, right? He uses three examples. That soldier, why? Because being a man of God and serving the Lord in ministry is a war. There's a battle. There's a battle that comes against that man, that comes against that man's wife, that comes against that man's family. For why? For standing in the gap and saying, for the sake of the gospel, I'm going to make sure I'm proclaiming it faithfully, making sure our flock is taken care of, praying fervently. And it's a battle. And every time you step forward in your calling, every time you step up to do something more for the Lord, there's always a battle to that. Every elder, when we interview elders and we're vetting elders and we bring elders together, we tell every single elder, hey, before you come on as an elder, you need to know this. You are going to step up your game in such a way that the bullseye on you is going to be bigger and you're going to get hit. And I don't know whether it's going to affect your health, your marriage, your family, or potentially all the above, maybe your finances, maybe your job, but hang on, it's coming. And 100% of the time, it's happened. 100% of the time. When you step up, we're in a battle here, right? A pastor that is faithful in serving the Lord and praying and faithful in serving the Lord and studying his word and faithful in the Lord and proclaiming and shepherding and doing all that, it's very difficult to get tied up into other things and just show up on the weekend and do that, right? He should be able to labor in his calling to become more effective and better at doing that. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I know some bivocational pastors and they're awesome. I'm gonna tell you this, bivocational pastors in heaven are gonna be rewarded incredibly. And sometimes you're bivocational because you have to be, because your congregation can't afford to take care of you. But there are other bivocational pastors whose churches could afford to be generous to them who aren't generous to them. And I think that's a disgrace. And I think it's a disgrace to the Lord. It's not honoring what the Lord's sending to you. Take the vineyard. What's the vineyard guy do? He's taking care of all that and hopes to get the fruit. What's the shepherd do? He's taking care of all the sheep. Here's the truth about all three of these callings. You can't leave them alone. A soldier on the field can't say, hey, I'm going to take off a week. I'm just going to go for a swim and watch some movies. I'll be back on the front lines in a while. Somebody taking care of a vine can't just say, I'm done cultivating. I'm done putting sunlight on this thing. It'll take care of itself. It'll die. Sheep can't even live about an hour without anybody taking care of them, right? I mean, and so you ask me, what is it? It's a constant focus. I mean, ask my wife after the service what it's like to be married to me and ask her this question. Hey, when does Jeff turn off? When is it in his life where he stops thinking about the church or stops caring when there's a problem in the church or stops rejoicing when somebody's doing well? Just ask her. Ask her what it's like for us on a vacation, even if we go on an extended one. When does Jeff totally shut off? Here will be your answer. Never. Why? Because it's my calling. I can't get away from it. So even when other people are preaching here, I'm praying for them and I'm thinking about them and I'm praying for you because I can't get away from it because it's a calling. And here's what Paul's saying. Pastors should be able to grow in their calling. They should be able to grow and be more faithful in their calling because if they are, it will only benefit you. And then finally, he gives this reason. A fourth reason why you should pay your pastor is because this. He knows that scripture teaches this practice and Jesus Christ himself commanded it. I mean, this practice is taught in scripture, and Jesus Christ actually commanded that you pay the men of God. Notice what it says in verse 9. Before it says, is not the law say these things? In other words, doesn't scripture teach this? Notice this. Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? In other words, you animal lovers, it doesn't mean God doesn't like animals. But God didn't put that scripture in Deuteronomy 25, 4 because he's so in love with ox and oxen. He put it in because when oxen would thresh and there would be a harvest, he was saying, you don't muzzle the oxen, let the thing eat. He's doing his work, so let him eat so he can keep doing his work. Feed him. Notice what he says. Or is he just speaking altogether for our sake? He said, yeah, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher ought to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. A pastor ought to preach in hopes and serve in hopes of being remunerated because he's sowing spiritual seed into God's people. And there's nothing wrong with that. Scripture teaches that. You say, well, how much should we pay our pastor? Here's what the Bible says. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, it tells you how. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, before you go to the place, hey, we'll honor you twice. We'll give you 2 gold stars. Hey, we'll give you 2 thumbs up. Think about it like this. From time to time, I have people out to my house to fix things because I can't fix anything. And so if I have a plumber out to my house to fix my garbage disposal, and he comes out and he puts the garbage disposal in and he does all the plumbing work and he puts it back together and he leaves, I don't look at him and say, nice job. Oh, you want double honor? Hey, great, you're in for good news. Double honor today, 2 thumbs up. No, I remunerate him. He expects to be paid, right? That's what he's talking about here. Double honor is being paid. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching the word. Why? Because it's through the word of God that you grow in your faith. It's through the word of God that you become who God wants you to be. And there's nothing wrong with paying your pastor. Now, again, you're gonna ask, how much? How much? Here's what God would say. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the book over from the one that we're studying, and verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 would tell you how. It says this, each man must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, here's how you should give. Generously. Here's how you should give, because you want to. In other words, nobody here has to. God would say, you're not under compulsion. I'm teaching you the word that would say this is what you should do, but I'm telling you, you shouldn't be under any compulsion from me. You should be under compulsion from the Holy Spirit. That's the right thing to do. Right? Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. It's the reason we clap for our offering here, because God loves it when we cheer. Now, here's the truth. You say, well, how does it benefit me? And just so you know, in case you're new to church, I don't get paid based upon your offering, just so you know. Our elders sit down and they're painstaking about how they come up with decisions, and they work with accountants and they work with all sorts of tax returns. I think about 50,000 of them to kind of see, hey, what's a range for a pastor that has a church this size, and what are the ranges and how should we do this? And I'm not part of any of the discussion, and they choose what they want to do to pay me, right? And I would tell you, they tend to err on the generous side, and I'm grateful for that. So it's not like I'm asking for a raise. So if you give more, I'm not getting paid more, just so you know, right? What I'm saying is generous churches, God blesses generous churches. I had a chance to talk to Kent Shaw, who's now on our staff, and I was asking him about all the churches who are part of our fellowship and saying, hey, is there a correlation between generosity in a church and fruitfulness? He said, 100%. He said, our most generous churches, and our church happened to be one of them, still happens to be one of them, our most generous churches are our most fruitful churches. Is there any mistake? Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Let me give you 3 things that generosity does, okay? Generosity, the experience, when we're generous, we can experience multiplied opportunity. Multiplied opportunity. The more generous you are, the more God gives us opportunity. Now, in a couple of weeks, you'll hear me stand up here and talk about all sorts of opportunity. There's not one here that won't be excited about it, I promise you. You'll be thrilled that we're gonna go all around the world and plant churches, and we're in a position to start doing that. It'll pump you up. But it doesn't happen because we say, yeah, let's do it. It happens when we're generous to the things of God, and then we get to go do that. You know what it also does? Number 2, it builds our faith. I mean, when we're generous to the things of God, and then we see that God is actually generous back to us, it builds our faith. When we collectively are generous to the things of God, and collectively God comes through and does things we couldn't have imagined, it builds our faith. So he gives us more opportunities. He builds our faith. Let me tell you a third thing it does. It encourages the pastor and those on staff and their families to continue in their service because they feel very grateful serving you. And generosity is a great thing. It moves the heart of God. Why? Because God was so generous to us, he sent his only begotten son who was perfect in every way to, though he was rich, became poor and died in our place so that we who were poor could receive the fullness of the gospel. God's heart is generosity. So when we're generous, it actually moves God's heart, right? And this is what he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 11, he says it like this. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? Here's what he's trying to make the argument of. If God cares about oxen that can harvest and eat during the harvesting season, and God cares about spiritual things, what's more important, an ox or a pastor? I mean, what's more important, spiritual things or monetary things? In other words, here's what Paul would say if he were here. You couldn't pay me too much for what I'm pouring into you. I'm pouring into you the eternal things of God. What price tag do you want to put on that? And some people are like, well, you can pay a pastor too much. I don't really think so. And here's why I don't think so, because pastors know more than anybody that they have to give an account for everything in their life, and they will be held to high judgment by Almighty God, the same way you will, for every way they spend every cent and every word that they say. And the Bible says that God will judge his teachers even harder, right? I mean, don't be calculated. He said, be generous. He goes on to say this. He goes, if we share this right over you, do we not, if others have this right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel. He goes, we'll do nothing that causes hindrance to the gospel. Even though we have this right, we're not going to take this right. So just so you know, for me, because I'm not sitting here, you know, edging in for a raise. I mean, when Kim and I moved out here, I mean, we made the decision in March of 2009 to come out here. We moved our whole family here in August. We started the church in November. I didn't take a paycheck till the following April. We paid other people before we paid me. We paid buildings before we paid me. We paid for all of our equipment before we paid me. We raised money on the outside to have enough money so that we could live while the church would flourish. That's always been my heart. So I'm not standing here today saying, pay me more, I'm worth it. I'm teaching you the word of God that says, be generous to your pastor because it's a blessing to him and it's a blessing to you. Verse 13 says, do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? In other words, all through the Old Testament, the Levites and the priests, when they served altar, I mean, they were given some of the portion for the food. They were given some of the remuneration so they could take care of their families. I mean, they were always taken care of. Those who served the Lord were always taken care of. And Paul's saying, hey, I'm an apostle too. I have a right to be taken care of by you. And notice this final one is if it doesn't get any stronger. So then also the Lord, verse 14, directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. What does Jesus want? Jesus wants those who proclaim the gospel, who've been called, who have an authentic calling in their life, to get paid by the gospel. Why? Because it keeps their focus. I mean, from the time I've gone into ministry, I've had people come up to me from Amway and every other sales, health company, whatever, wanting to get me on their team because they know that if I start selling and can sell the whole church, they can be wealthy just by the people I put under me. But here's why I don't do that. Because I don't want to come to you and say, I love Jesus and let's talk about the gospel. And oh, by the way, could you use some more toilet paper in your house this week? Right? Because I don't want to mix up my message as to what I'm doing. I want to be wholeheartedly devoted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this, even while our elders are generous and while we as a staff try to be generous to all of our staff in the way we pay, even if they weren't, let me tell you something. I'm here until Jesus calls me away. I'm not here to get paid. I'm here to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord for your life's sake and that you can have hope in him and in him alone and that he can fill you to the full. And that's what the Lord requires. The Lord wants us to be those kind of people. And because Jesus commands it and because we can expect it, here's what I would say to you. Again, let me finish the message by saying this. Not a rebuke, not a corrective. Not a you better or else. This is thank you for being that kind of church. Thank you for being the kind of people that give generously.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Paying Your Pastor, from the series Stronger, examining how Paul modeled the gospel by giving up his rights for the sake of the Corinthians' spiritual growth. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to BravePastorJeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit BraveChurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.